No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
That's right. Yes, it is. 2 hours Old School, Foreman and Orman, before a third hour of Old School with Foreman and Orman. That's the move going forward. Welcome to it on a Monday. I'm the Orman. To my left, your right on stream is the Foreman. Jay, what's up? How's your weekend?
Weekend was all right.
All right?
It goes by quick, man.
It does.
Dang. We needed to go by quicker so we start getting some football games kicked off.
We are, what, 24 days away from
24
kickoff?
Days for Nebraska, yeah.
Who's counting, though? Oh, wait, we're counting.
Yeah, man. We're closer. Woo. We're closer. Then, you know, it was just a little bit of a tease there by the NFL, wet your whistle with the Hall of Fame game. No games on the weekend, so you'll get a little bit of a full preseason slate, you know, here this weekend.
Speaking of Hall of Fame game, you're going to break down a play from the Hall of Fame game coming up in our next segment.
One of the biggest questions, or one of the most frequent questions I always get is, what's the difference between the NFL and or the college and the NFL? It doesn't change. I always say, look, guys know where they're going. They're going with the purpose, and they get the job done. But the big difference is the speed. Mm. The holes open and close a lot faster. Linemen are better. They're obviously the best of the best, ideally. Or, you know, obviously when you're out there as a starter.
Even the bad ones are good.
Yeah, but when you're out there, you know, I was blessed enough to start, you know, 7 years and be out there, you know, playing a significant amount of plays. You know, it's the little things. And, you know, we're going to do a Whiteboard Wednesday, which we, you know, obviously we'll do on Old School and do some on Inside the Huddle, Black Shirt Report, and, you know, it's various, not all Nebraska stuff. I always try to do things outside of Nebraska, but it's all the same. I think one of the biggest things that people don't understand is that you know, some of the plays are the same. You know, the offensive plays they run now are pretty similar. I mean, a lot more similarity than people give it credit for, conceptual-wise. Now, the difference is they got all these stupid names for them. here's an example. Like, you know, it's just it doesn't matter if it's pistol, regular, or gun, or whatever you want to call it. You know, inside outside zone is, you know, it's an even or odd. You go 12, 14 take, 11, 12 take, right? That's inside outside zone. And then, or like dive or whatever you want to call it, right? Real simple. That's what, you know, or then outside zone, which your Colts with Edge made famous, and which we'll see. And the play that I'll break down is a RPO, but it's essentially just outside zone.
From the shotgun.
From the shotgun. Mm. And that's Peyton and them could do. What's the difference? Except, you know, Peyton, he got back there as quick as the ball got back there. You know, it was 18-19 take. Whatever you want. And it can flip. Just so, and yeah, sure, you got all these, like, F motion and all that. And that's just window dressing. You know, it's mm-hmm. just how you take, you know, how you get it. And people always want, you know, when, you know, what's funny is that your Chicago Bears didn't shift a lot last year. And so we're just, you know, this is the difference of philosophies coming in from one coach and another. Ben Johnson, coming from Detroit, did a ton of shifting motions, shift motion, you know, on the ball, off the ball. Well, if you read all the stuff coming out of Chicago Bears camp, they are struggling.
They cannot handle it.
Yeah.
it is not going well for them.
And here's the big difference. You also have to look at where the – it's a very young offensive team. Caleb Williams, second year. Mm-hmm. Rome Adunze is second year. Is it Moore?
DJ Moore?
DJ Moore, yeah. Relatively young in his career. He's not double digits, but he's mid, right?
Mm-hmm. Luther Burden, Colston Loveland.
Loveland. They're both rookies. A lot of young offensive linemen.
Rookie running back in there too, maybe?
Yeah. And, somewhere? And then they beefed up the offensive line through the draft and some of their free agents. So they're new too. So they're rookies. So they are swimming in it. Like, use a Bo Pelini, you know, I guess analogy. They are swimming and they are trying to tread water. And when you get a hold of it, the offensive system scheme or what the why is, it's the same plays that they ran last year in some form or fashion, you know. I'd have experience with it. I always try to say, don't just get up here and be like, oh, it was so easy, or you know, it was the greatest or anything. Like, I remember with Greg Williams, I was struggling, not struggling as far as like making plays, but it was like, I was like, what the hell is he? You know, like we got dime, we got nickel, we got like, oh, what are you called Penny? Then we had another. I mean, for any.
What was Penny?
Penny was, it was 3-3-5.
Oh, okay.
But then we had another package, like a special Penny package based on one guy.
Brand new shiny Penny?
Well, yeah. Close to rusty Penny? Because that, it was like a true 3-3-5 against the pass. A 3-3-5 that we could actually play 4-2-5. Mm. But once I talked to Steve Jackson, who played for Greg, when they were the Houston Oilers, you know, played for Buddy Ryan, I think, as well, who Greg was a disciple of. And then he's like, man, he's like, you're making it way too hard on yourself. He's like, come by my office after practice today. So, you know, I'd stay late anyways trying to catch up. He's like, look, when we say this, what's the difference? He just put up this like package, this package, this package. And he's like, cover three was called three different things based in the package. He's like, it's still cover three. And then once I figured that out, you're good. It just like the light came on and I started playing way faster.
Now, another big difference between college and the pros, Jay.
That Quan?
I mean.
It's
different, but that's, again, it's narrowing, as we've talked about.
Them chizzies?
What? Preseason polls are different between college football in the NFL. We got the USA Today preseason coaches poll, Jay. And for the first time, we are going to have a season opening 1-2 matchup. When the University of Texas, your preseason number one team, according to the coaches, visit the Horseshoe to take on number 2, Ohio State. Texas ends up number 1 in the poll with over 1,600 points. Ohio State about 40 points behind them. And then, Jay, there's another gap of 40 points between Ohio State and Penn State. Those are the top three teams. Number 4, Georgia, is the only team between about 1,400 and 1,500 points. And then there's a big drop-off between Georgia and Notre Dame. So what the coaches are telling you is that Texas, Ohio State, Penn State, and Georgia are their picks for the top four teams in the country. They had a couple coaches end up voting Clemson number 1, but that was 2 votes for first. Georgia got 3 first place votes, Penn State 14, Ohio State 20, and Texas 28. Let's start with those top four teams. 3 usual suspects, Texas, Ohio State, and Georgia. And then Penn State up there at number 3, one of their higher preseason rankings in a while. You agree with that? You disagree with that? What do you like and not like?
Hold on a second. When we went up to Washington, wasn't that 1-2?
Was that a season opener?
I should know this. We probably beat somebody up beforehand.
You beat up Akron 59-14 and UCF 38-24 before you went up to Washington.
That definitely wasn't the
Also, according to this, you were ranked number 7 at the time.
Oh, that's hog.
It's disrespectful.
That's hogwash. All right, now on to it. Yeah, that's usual suspect. I mean, I could, you know, I see. I mean, when you look at Texas, I think that's the Arch Manning effect. I think they lost way more than what people were projecting. Mm-hmm. I mean, you lose a first-round offensive tackle in Banks. You lose your safety. Yes, they bring back their excellent linebacker. You lose your quarterback. You lose a receiver. You lose your corner, kind of hybrid that goes first round to Denver. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I see it. In Ohio State, Penn State, I see that. In Georgia, I think they're getting the benefit of the doubt. The team that
Georgia's a huge benefit of the doubt.
Yeah,
you know, because that defense is still obviously going to be good, but it was like the worst defense of the last 5 years for Georgia.
Yeah,
right, which is still like top 15, borderline top 10 good, but not number one in the sport good. Plus, you're breaking in a new quarterback, plus receivers that struggled to help out an experienced quarterback in Carson Beck last year. I'm not saying Georgia's going to be bad. I think that's a little aggressive putting them at number four right now.
Well, I think you're going with the head coach, number one. You trust him probably. You should probably trust him a little bit more than James Franklin, but James Franklin, I think, has the difference maker in Drew Aller coming back. And here's the thing with Georgia. As, I guess, low grade as that defense supposedly was, still was a really good defense, right?
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more with volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
If they had just average wide receivers, okay? Just average. They might win the national championship.
Again. Mm-hmm.
And so that's where it comes from, where that's what they're selling. Now, they feel that the quarterback that came in, you know, during the SEC championship.
Gunnar Stockton.
Yeah. And he looks, I mean, I felt like Stetson Bennett looked like a librarian. He looked like, Stetson Bennett looked like a insurance salesman. This dude looked like a librarian.
Librarian with a cannon, yeah. But we'll see if he can read defenses
and
like
he can run a
books.
Little bit too, better than what people think. I mean, I think the two teams that feel like they are being disrespected, the two teams are going to, or at least they signed a 10-year deal to lock horns, is Clemson and Notre Dame. And really Clemson. Mm-hmm. When you look at Clemson with the offensive line coming back, the quarterback coming back, mm-hmm. and that defense coming Ooh. Back, you talk about just going to just under the radar, go and probably get in the top four, you know, college football playoffs. And potentially be the number one seed based on their schedule and opportunity. And they get to kick it off against LSU at the crib.
LSU comes in preseason number 9, according to the coaches, Jay.
That's about right. Quarterback, get benefit of the doubt. Did a really good job in the portal. You know that you always figure LSU is going to do what? They're always going to have receivers.
Mm-hmm.
They're always going to play hard. And they got a pretty good defense coming back.
Pretty deep.
Yeah, pretty deep. Mm-hmm. They got the defensive end from Peyton from Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
They got the defensive end from Florida that was holding out for money.
Yeah.
And then Jamari Butler is going to fit in there somewhere because he left here to go there. And then they got the linebacker. I mean, so they get the benefit of the doubt as well.
Teams 3-5-7, Penn State, Notre Dame, and Oregon. Which of those head coaches do you trust the most?
Penn State, Notre Dame, Oregon. This year? And I'll go, I'm not picking James Franklin because he's let me down. I refuse. I'll go with Mr. Tight Pants, Marcus Freeman. Now, only reason I'm not on a normal year, I would say Dan Lanning because I think he, you know, his antics and stuff is kind of childish, but I really think he's done a good job and built a good program. He doesn't have the I know the quarterback they have in waiting is good or has a potential, but Oregon has always had not just a ready-made starter, a dude. This is the first year that they don't have a dude.
In a long time.
That's why I'll go with Marcus Freeman. But I don't even really trust Notre Dame. Yeah, they got the running back coming back.
They're breaking in a new quarterback as well. Couple guys on the OL.
Yeah, and they don't pass the ball.
Lost Xavier Watts, obviously.
Yeah, and they don't pass the ball well at all. So I guess I'm going to change my answer. I'm going to go Dan Lanning.
Ooh, I talked you into Dan Lanning. Did not even mean to. Because I still think I get why Oregon is up that high, and maybe I'm underrating what they have on their roster. I see Oregon as a top 15, borderline top 10 team. I don't think they're a slam dunk top 10 playoff team this year like they were last year.
I don't think they make the playoffs this year.
Hello.
I don't think they make it.
Hello.
I think they struggle. I think they're like 8-4, 9-3.
So is that
a
spot where another Big Ten team pops up and gets in there to replace them? Or are we talking, you know, 3-bid ACC this year? Or 2-bid Big 12? Because right now you have in the ACC Clemson at number 6, the U at number 10, and then you got to go a ways to SMU down at number 16. I wouldn't be shocked if SMU is in that 16 to 20 range. Or are we talking 2-bid Big 12? Arizona State, the highest ranked Big 12 team, coming in at number 11, according to the coaches. Could we see a world where more than just the Big 12 conference champion gets in?
That's a good question. I think Arizona State is probably the odds-on favorite. I think they might take a step back because they have one good receiver and they have another one that they lost. Scatterboo was a big part of it, but their quarterback is he's a stud. Obviously,
You like Leavitt.
I do like Leavitt. I think this year, when you listen to the politics of Sankey and SEC, they're gonna try to set a all-time mark of getting SEC teams in. I just think if when you look at this right now, if LSU, Bama, like Ole Miss and whether it's Tennessee and or Florida and throw in Texas A&M, just hangs around the same record as Oregon, they're gonna like, oh, you owe us from last year. Because all those teams besides Tennessee were at the crib. Florida obviously upset a lot of them. But you got to think it's about now setting themselves up for potential in the future to have the higher guarantee than the Big Ten. Now, I think Oregon could get there. I just wonder what it's going to look like. I think they're going to be defensive-oriented to get started, right? But their defense was pretty decent last year, but then they showed some glaring weaknesses as they started to play better competition. So that's where, you lost a first-round defensive tackle to Pittsburgh. I know you have guys coming back, and they're good. We saw a Big Ten meeting today. They're a good-looking team. And they have depth, especially on the outside. But then offensively, what are you going to do now that you lost your bell cow and your ultimate eraser at quarterback?
And a really good receiver in there as well.
Really good receiver. So those two guys that kind of masked a lot of the issues are gone. That's where I think they might lose a couple. But you know what? I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
Oregon also loses running back Jordan James.
Yep.
He's in the pros as well. Here's where it's going to be interesting to monitor that, Jay, is that Oregon closes with Iowa in Iowa City. They will host Minnesota on a short week. That'll be a Friday night game up at Autzen Stadium. They will stay at home, and they will host USC the next weekend before going on the road to close out the season at Washington. Obviously, it shouldn't be narrative-based, but we know narrative plays into it quite a bit. If Iowa has a good record at that point through eight games, if they're, you know, 6-2 or better at that point, Oregon goes on the road and wins that one, you would like to think they get bonus points. But if Iowa, you know, goes from 6-2 to 7-5, well, you caught them at the right time. They were slipping. Same thing for Minnesota. Gophers are confident. People aren't talking about them. Kind of par for the course there. And then you get some former Pac-12 brethren in USC and Washington. Who knows how many different directions USC's season could go. And Washington kind of fell apart toward the end of the year last year. Weren't exactly playing better, so we'll see if they can improve on that by the end of the year. But it would be interesting to see, or will be interesting to see, you know, what Oregon's record is heading into November. And then, you know, if Oregon looks hot, if they're playing the part, they win convincingly in two or three of those games, maybe win a dogfight in one of them, will they get any bonus points for being Oregon, for being in that conversation last year? Or is what you're saying true, depending on how Tennessee's playing, will they get bonus points for putting up 77 on their FCS team in week 12 or Florida, something like that as well?
Yeah, I mean, and then also, Austin, to back to the Big Ten, is like, here's the sneaky teams that you have to worry about. Like you said, USC, Nebraska, and particularly Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Just on it. So, and then you throw Illinois in there where you figure, like, of those four teams, right?
Illinois preseason number 12, according to the coaches.
But if you take those four teams and you don't know, you don't even know if Rutgers is going to play out of their mind or whatever.
Michigan State makes a jump, whatever.
And fifth one maybe is Minnesota. Or maybe I did mention Minnesota. I said USC, and Minnesota. So it's five. Of those five. So you got the two, just say guaranteed with Penn State and Ohio State. And you're only going to get four. There's five teams.
Michigan.
Okay. So that's where two of those six are going to leapfrog Oregon. Number one, quarterback. Number two, schedule. Number three, they're coming from a position from, like, I would say, like the depths of hell, where they have a little bit, like Nebraska, they got a favorable schedule. Washington is a lot closer than being far based on some of the games they let go, and quarterback, running back, and the second year of Jed Fish. Then you think of Minnesota, who's like literally like laying in the weeds. Right now, it's all dependent on the quarterback play. You know they got running back. You know they got receiver. Kind of assume they got offensive line, packing a defense, you know, at all three levels. And then, you know, PJ Fleck. And then you throw Illinois in there. And so Oregon's up against a tougher test, not only internally, but then externally. And let's say double externally when you start to throw in Tennessee, throw in Texas A&M, LSU, and all these teams that are sitting there saying, we are owed, we are entitled to be in it. And that does go into it. And let's not forget, don't sleep on Cignetti.
No. Preseason 19, according to the coaches.
Right. Don't sleep on them. I mean, you know, if Indiana, they won 11-1 last year, right? Let's just say they end up at 9-3. They validated 11-1. And long as the three aren't, you know, completely embarrassing.
Yeah.
So also depends on the losses and how they lose and when those, you know, go into effect.
And I think you're spot on that a 9-3 Indiana has validated 11-1 last year, but I also don't think 9-3 Indiana is anywhere near the playoff conversation like Bama was last year.
Exactly. And so let me dive in more into that. So by them being 9-3, they might get in the way somehow, directly or indirectly, based on the schedule and who they beat and how they beat them, that could indirectly be a, you know, hurt a team like Oregon. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
And so you Oregon probably needs four of the teams that I mentioned out of those six not to live up to expectations. The higher that those other teams play, right, and come from, you know, the back end of this relay race, they don't get talked about. They don't get the benefit of the doubt. Now, if Oregon validates what they did last year, then the story, then it's closed. I think they're in a more uneasy state than they are used to. And maybe because they're way up there off the beaten path, so you really don't know what they got. They could be practicing excellent. You just don't know, because you don't get any updates up there. Big Ten, they're only going up there for like a half a day, because you got to get up out of there. They're almost, and it's not going to be as big as collapse as I'm about to say. It's almost like being in the position like Florida State was. You know what I'm saying? Now, granted, I felt like Florida State lost their way offensively, defensively. I felt like they were just out there trying to feed guys to make sure that they lived up to the promises. Mm-hmm. And defensively, I think they probably went through the whole preseason camp listening to this NFL noise, and not one of them played good.
Yeah.
Even though they did get a defensive tackle drafted, which I think pretty big accomplishment, as bad as they played. But and this is the comparison to Oregon. You're assume that you're going to be as good as the year before, right? Florida State lost a quarterback through injury, but they lost a franchise quarterback for them through injury. Same with Oregon.
Yeah.
You lost some sneaky pieces off of that. You got Coleman up in Minnesota and all those, and the other receiver got picked. So you lost some really integral pieces, and then you had those same expectations based on what everybody did last year, and you just never got out of drive. Now, I do think Dan Lanning will be able to, obviously going to do what they need, because I think there is a good culture there, but also I think it's...
And I think they're recruiting as much ahead of Florida State's right is. Now, and so they have been a little higher
it,
floor.
And they've been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it's going to be a huge... That's why I say it's not going to be apples to apples, but I think to be in that the position that they're in, and I think they were right around the same preseason rank. Florida State was 10.
Oregon is 7 right now.
Yeah, so right around the same. Now they don't got to go Ireland and play, you know, upstart Georgia Tech, but, you know, I think they're in a position to really, you know, have some sort of letdown.
This might break your heart, might not. No Oklahoma in the top 25 for the first time since 1999, according to the coaches. So there's
could,
a little bit
that,
of
that could bode well for them. I think. Okay. Between
at Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Clemson, Bama, Oklahoma. Those are the three best front sevens out there.
Is there 27 wins between those three teams?
I think Oklahoma on the sneak. Now,
is there 30 wins between
those
teams?
Now, if Oklahoma was in the Big 12, they'd be thinking about college football play. That's the crazy thing about it. I bet you if they were in the Big 12, they'd be more than ranked. They'd be ranked, and they would be thinking about we're going to win the Big 12 and probably get a bye.
Oklahoma's in the Big 12 right now. They're probably top 10.
Right.
Not and just now, even ranked, just right. probably top 10.
And now Boise's up there. And the worst part is Texas Tech is 24.
I was going to throw that out there, too. All that money.
It's disrespectful.
To who? I
mean, Oklahoma should feel disrespected.
Ah.
Why are we just into the just getting in here and we're not ranked? Are you telling me we're not good enough to be ranked?
We're not better than Texas Tech.
I know Brett Venable is on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm. Got a 10-win year under his belt and two not 10-win years under his belt. But
yeah, but it's the comparison. Old Dad 34 is who's your favorite fellas to win the Big Ten? I mean, the favorite right now has got to be Ohio State or Penn State.
Penn State won the media poll. Ohio State won the coaches poll. Oregon won the league last year.
Who do you trust more?
Not Penn State or Oregon. I trust Ohio State by far the most out of any of those three programs.
Do you think that quarterback going to be good?
I'm not sure if he's going to be good at that. I don't know. Well, they got three I just of trust them. The rest of the roster.
Because they got the kid that transferred into Bam or from Bama.
Saying.
Mm-hmm. And then they got the kid from South Dakota. Right? It's like it's Keyholtz, Lincoln Keyholtz.
Oh, Keenholtz. Yeah.
And then they got the guy from Ohio. That's his name, like St. Clair or something like that.
Yeah, Tavian St. Clair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll find one. Yeah, they'll find one. And you just throw it into the vicinity of Tate or Jeremiah Smith, you'd be all right.
People are going to sleep on Carnell Tate.
They've already been asleep.
Watch out. Maybe a Mecca Buka 2.0.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I know. Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Let's go to break. We got Whiteboard Wednesday, but on a Monday coming up next. Jay Foreman breaking down a play from the Hall of Fame game. That's next here on Old School, brought to you by the Mercado.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
That's right. We are here, Austin Norman and Jay Foreman with you. It's Whiteboard Wednesday, but on a Monday. Big win for the Chargers over the Lions, 34-7 in the Hall of Fame game. And Jay, it appears as if you are taking a play from the winning Chargers side of things here.
Yeah, it's early in the game. You see this right here. It's just a basic formation. Now, it's 11 personnel. So 11 personnel is one back, one tight end. Obviously, you see the tight end here moving. He's frozen in mid-movement here. Then it's going to make it a balanced formation. And so from a defensive standpoint, as a defensive play caller or, as a middle linebacker, your game prep will probably allow you to assume and then obviously project and more importantly anticipate that you're going to have to flip the strength or just wait for it to you'd hold your strength call. So strength call is wherever you want to set your defensive coverage. You're in generally sometimes your three technique, right, depending on over under the front or if you want to have an opposite or eagle front. And so we'll do a little red here. And okay, so we're out here and these guys go in motion, this is the motion guy right here. Whoops. This is the motion guy right here. And there he is. All right, so that's where you would set the strength. And he's going to come over here in the next frame, right? And so this is a simple run and play. First round draft pick, Amarion Hampton, about 225 pounds. I think he ran a 4.4, 4.38. He can move. He ran for 1,600 yards. So listen. 1,600 yards in college leads you to about 16 in the NFL if you don't do what I'm about to talk about. And so you can tell right now by this quarterback, he's looking left. This guy right here is trying to react to see if this guy moves. Right? Right? Why are they set in motion? What we talked about before, whether you're man or zone. Now, if you get really good, and guys that can travel, you can do both. You can have guys that play man, then they can, flip, they can go with the motion or shift and play zone. But they have to be really good as far as communication and so forth and so on. So that's the first formation. Okay. Then we go back. I'll move this over here.
Little trackpad, two fingers.
Yeah. There we go. All right. I gotta get back in motion here. So now you see it right here. So it's simple. So this running back right here, he's essentially, okay, when I talked about this is RPO, right? This is pistol, right? Pistol's generally about 5 yards, in a shorter shotgun. So essentially, they are reading, they're, RPOing, right? Run past off of this guy. Now, I will tell you, they ran a simple, 11, 12 inside zone for about 8 yards to get to third and three. It was actually second and two. They lost a yard by a fumble snap.
The first down play was that simple inside zone.
Simple inside zone. So they came right back to it, right? Bread and butter to see how they were going to react. So what does Detroit do? Say, we're going to stop it. We're going to go one back, one gap. You see that right here because I know it's one back, one gap because you see guys facing each other, right? There's no fair. They're not looking in and reading the quarterback or cluing. You see the linebacker move right here. And more importantly, this is the RPO guy, and I promise you, I will get better at the drawings.
Is that the outside backer, or is that the defensive end?
This is like the up at the top right here. This is would be what they would count as an OLB nickel, or depends on whatever you bring in defensively.
Gotcha.
Like I played in a 3-4 where we didn't change personnel. You had to be able to play on 2 feet. You had to be able to reroute. You had to be able to cover it to the flat. You had to be able to blitz off the slot. That's where he gives a lot of flexibility. That's, in theory, what causes a lot of problems for offensive coordinators, that you don't change personnel based on 11 personnel, 21, 12, 13.
So then that guy that's planted on the goal line, he's responsible for the slot guy?
If it's just base defense.
Okay.
Right? But he's blitzing, and it's the RPO. That's who you're RPOing off of, right? So
I'm saying the guy behind him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, planted at the goal line. Now, this is your guy right mm-hmm. here, right? So you got... Now, you just essentially flipped formations, right? Or flipped responsibility, right? He's the fill player right here. So he's filling, right? He's blitzing. He's essentially playing the defensive end, right? He's going first. He's crashing down, right? And then this guy has got to be in here in the alley, and somebody's got to win. Mm. But the way this play is set up right now, right? The way this play is set up right now, this should be an automatic win for the offense. This should be not only a first down for 3 yards, but a touchdown. Because if you look at the next screen right here, okay, he's starting to go right here, right? And there's not much teach tape on here, so it's probably a screenshot I shouldn't have, you know, done, but that's fine. Right, when you look at it right here, it's even more clear, right? Flat-footed read right here. You see action read because this safety right here, right? His eyes are on that tight end, right? So that's where you see a little bit of movement.
The guy that motioned over to that side.
Yeah, so he's kind of reading the tight end because he's going to be a late fill. You got this guy right here, which is my position, right? You're trying to read it. It's a zone right here, kind of getting you to move. Square pass is actually good by him. Now, this guy's coming off like a heat-seeking missile to blow stuff up to tackle him. This should be a tackle for loss right here.
I mean, he's unblocked.
He's unblocked. But these guys get paid a lot of money, and that's why you go first round after after running for 1,600 yards. Now, look at you right here. He's got it, right? Poor angle, right?
Really bad angle.
Right? Really bad angle, right? But the linebacker has a really, really good read right here. You see him over the top right here? Right?
Yeah,
square
yeah, yeah.
pads. Square pads. Which you have to learn in the league actually allows them, the offensive lineman can't block you. You think square pads, meaning square pads is your shoulders are square to the line of scrimmage, potential blockers that they could just crush you. They can't because they're trying to get an angle on you. It actually works opposite.
Because they want to turn you, not face
right.
your head.
They
on.
Want you to turn your shoulders and they can just ride you right out. It's easy.
It's leverage.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it makes their job easier. They say, thank you for helping me get paid even more. So now, okay, he came too flat. This guy here, now he's got the corner. He thinks he does. North Carolina against North Carolina State, North Carolina against Minnesota. That's easy first down. Probably turns the corner in college, right? Mm. Here's the problem.
This ain't college.
This ain't college. And these little DBs, this is really good. Look at this is really good teach tape by this DB. Look at his hands, right? Got your hands in your pocket in a fight, you're going to get knocked out. Look at his hands, right? These guys are paid a lot of money. And it's the first preseason game because there's only two preseason. You better get off the blocks and you better, what we used to call get wet. That means the little DBs, you better be able to jump into the deep end of the pool. And right here, even when it's stopped right here, even with the good read by that inside linebacker, he should be able to get the first down at worst. The blocks haven't even started yet.
There's no contact at all right,
right
now.
Right, so you should be able to get outside and in before you get to the numbers, stick your foot in the ground, get up and get the first down. And then obviously a touchdown. But this is how quick things close up here. Look at the blue shirts right there. Right?
There's three of them. They can tackle him right now.
Yeah, there's more than that. Now look at the blue shirts right here. I mean, you won't count him. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. The safety came down. We used to say he melted the slot receiver. Mm. Blew him up. He's about to get off the block. Right? There's 5 guys. And he hasn't even gained. He hasn't even got to the line of scrimmage yet. Now I'm willing to bet, if you took Hampton and all 5 of those guys and lined them up on the goal line, that he would probably beat him in a 5-yard shuttle, 10-yard shuttle, and definitely a 40-yard shuttle. But want to know what you're doing, anticipation, and go where you're supposed to do when you have to, and when you arrive, as we're about to see, you arrive with bad intentions. This is how you go from 3rd and 3, okay, to 4th and about 1, right? The corner that was in this frame right here destroyed this block by the receiver, right? Right? It's a big deal, right? If you want to become a physical team, it's not just the offensive line. You have to be physical out in the perimeter. If you want to be a physical defense, you can't just be physical in between the tight end box. You got to be physical out on the perimeter, right?
Don't let yourself get blocked.
No, don't let them block you. They're going to try to hold. There's holding on. You can say there's holding on every play, but this is a good job by that defensive back of that corner, not only taking the block on, defeating the block, and then obviously cutting off the corner, because this young man learned something in the league right now real quick. Them holes open and shut real quick, and if you don't know where you're going and you don't have the right anticipation, what you get away with in college, you will not get away with in the pros. What you got away with in high school, you certainly won't get away with in college. And what you get away with sometimes, if you don't practice with the right intention, intensity, and purpose, you won't get away with when you play good teams, good on good. Mm-hmm. And to see this right here, this next play, right? Not only did he defeat a block, right? So the whole premise of I know how guys are sometimes when they're going through, oh, I graded out in 80%, I did my job. Well, this dude right here, this little DB, this little pipsqueak, he not only did his job, but he went and played some football. Mm-hmm. Right there, that we just talked about it for about 10 minutes. This dude got this play talked about for 15, 20 minutes, and I can guarantee you if he didn't make the team or isn't in position to make the team, they're reconsidering him right now, as long as he can cover, right?
Right.
But to be able to do that, this is a lost art right here. And look at the tackle, right? You could say, you know, head behind, ahead, or head in front, his head in front. Look at him. He's going to get the inside leg, right, against a really, really good athlete. Tackle for a one-yard gain. That's a plus in the first thing, know what you're doing. That's a plus as far as execution. That's a plus as being a factor. And then it's a plus what they used to grade us with, a circle of doing more than what you're supposed to do. So his factor rating is,
but
like,
not going outside of scheme.
Not going outside of scheme.
Making a play.
Right. This is making the play, making the football play that you need to make, but making it look spectacular. So, because when you see it in when you see it right here, you see this is a spectacular play, right? Like if he doesn't, he turns the corner.
And he's outrunning that trailing linebacker, though.
Yeah, because you can't do it because the inside line he has the inside linebacker who had a really good read would have made the tackle if he would have had to stick his foot in the ground at this frame right here, right there, or this frame right here. If he would have stuck his foot in the ground and went vertical right there, I know it's a lot of scribbles, right? So then this, where he's at, the fact that he was able to what? Beat the outside leverage and beat the edge setter, right? Unblocked edge setter, made the corner make a spectacular play. Or forced him to it, and he made a spectacular play. So that's the difference when people ask the difference between the NFL and college. Plays are designed for one guy to mess up. Okay, so you had it right there, right? And it's also a play design that you're getting paid a lot of money as a first-round pick at running back. You got to make somebody miss. Mm-hmm. So he did his job. And now the other play design is for you to do your job, which is simple, which my man number was 84, did not, mm-hmm. which allowed this DB right here to come up and make a spectacular play, or what could be viewed as a spectacular play. A really, really good, solid, physical football play that you see in the first series of the, you know, Hall of Fame game. But it's a good look-see into the difference in the speed, execution, and the simplicity of these plays. And, you know, when we get into the season, we could talk about the play two plays before, sets up that play call. Mm. Because one strong side, with no motion, that would and then so what you try to do as an offensive coordinator is get to the formation that you had success to in the first down and try to get them to overplay that, and you run opposite. You had the perfect play call. They actually had a really good call defensively. They just executed it a little bit better on the perimeter because you're not calling plays for the assumption that the wide receiver at the point of attack is going to miss a block so bad and get defeated, and then the running back, who's your first round pick, and right there when you're looking at the circle, he should be getting upfield right now.
To at least get the first down?
Right.
Instead of trying to stretch it like maybe in college where he can get away with just being faster and getting past that one last guy to turn
right.
the corner.
And now, if the block was better on the perimeter, we're talking about something different. But here's why you have to get your foot at that, essentially, that yard marker, the 10-yard marker right there, or that dash right there, and get upfield. The tackle by that Lion defender is the hardest tackle to execute when you have to stop somebody at 3 yards or less. They're going forward. You're hitting them essentially at a side glance and actually behind them. If you don't think it's hard, just go ask Brian Bosworth going against Bo Jackson. Everybody was on Brian Bosworth about that tackle with Bo Jackson. There's not a linebacker that's ever walked the face of the earth that would have been able to make that tackle against Bo Jackson. Realistically, at the line of scrimmage, 245 pounds of probably the greatest athlete, one of the greatest athletes that walked the face of the earth with bad intentions, and you're coming from essentially inside out on an outside track, which essentially this turns into what? 18-19 take right here. This is, I know this is new language right here. This is Edgerrin James, Indianapolis Colts all day long. I seen it. I lived it.
First-hand experience.
First-hand experience, and it works. The only thing they did is just a little bit of RPO action. And they would sometimes they would fake stock block on the slot and then go to the safety. So then they just RPO'd or essentially edging on this guy in the slot defender. They just, I mean.
And you like your chances of him breaking a tackle against a slot corner.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You took your chances with our first round running back mm-hmm. against your slot defender that he's coming too fast on a either upfield shoulder or underneath shoulder, and he's going to miss the tackle because if he doesn't, then the quarterback should have kept it. Then he's the guy running out here trying to make the play.
So if you are that edge defender, did you do the wrong thing by crashing so hard? Or did you do the right thing by crashing down, making him bounce it outside?
You did the right thing, but you executed. You ain't hit nobody. You didn't hit him. He didn't get hit once.
No, didn't touch
him. He just ran right around. You went around. So your job, you have first guy inside. You needed to tackle the running back. Mm-hmm. Everybody else's job, which would have been the linebacker's job, to get over the top and take the quarterback, which is Trey Lance, which then it equals out because Trey Lance is a little bit stymied a little bit by reading that defender. So if you crash hard and flat, you take out Hampton, then he keeps the quarterback keep on the RPO, which then the linebacker has to make that inside-outside tackle. Now, if he keeps bouncing outside, then you get the same result. It's just a switch of responsibilities
again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just one-on-one. It makes you play 11-on-11. And in this case, Detroit's 11 was or 11th guy was a little bit better than than Los Angeles Chargers guy.
For maybe the last time all game, 34-7, Chargers win. But just kidding. No disrespect there. Let's go ahead and go to break. That was Whiteboard Wednesday on a Monday with Jay Foreman. Make sure you tune in to Old School throughout the season, Inside the Huddle, Blackshirt Report as well, for plenty more on the whiteboard from the professor himself, Jay Foreman. We'll go to break, wrap up hour one of Old School right after this.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back in to Old School, wrapping up hour one. Austin Orman and Jay Foreman with you, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese Special Ingredient Butcher Shop with all types of meats, all types of cuts. Jay, here's some news from Huskerland. Husker Bowling is now out of the ranks of the independents. I guess a lot of people didn't realize that Husker Bowling was not a member of the Big Ten Conference in bowling because there really is no Big Ten Conference in bowling. Nebraska Bowling is headed to Conference USA, which is essentially the Super League of bowling. You get your Arkansas States, your Jacksonville States, Vanderbilt is in there, and Nebraska is joining along with a couple other pretty solid bowling programs. Good on them for that. From being an independent, I think of the last eight semifinalists to qualify, the Huskers were the only ones that weren't out of Conference USA. So they were making it work as an independent, kind of Notre Dame football style. Yeah, Sam Houston in that conference, Youngstown State as well. So pretty huge, I think, for Nebraska Bowling to find a conference home. And just talk about, Jay, I mean, you've played in some really good divisions and really good conference as well in your time. What is it that being in such a strong conference can do to help boost a program?
Well, I think Nebraska's, you know, definitely on the map, so they don't have to. There's two types of boosts that you are trying to, I guess, accomplish. One, to get noticed and get on the map. Nebraska's on the map. Now you're trying to get, like, going up to the same level. Like, I'll give an analogy of the volleyball team, right? Mm-hmm. And they get it where they're in the Big Ten and you night in and night out, you're going to face against some good clubs. And so I think what it can do, you can go and, expand your recruiting area, which obviously they always do because, generally a lot of the bowlers that are coming to college playing, are bowling some of the same tournaments and clubs. But you're able to sell that, look, you're going to go against the best of the best. And we've had a pretty good history here as a bowling program. We're only going to get better, bigger and better with, the opportunity to recruit, just that much more of a high profile player and players. And you'll be able to increase spread your footprint. So I think it's great. And the I'd prefer to play 12 games against 12 ranked teams. Now, I know there's more risk with that, but I think ultimately you come to the college to play against the best, and that's what you're going to do as far as if you come here to bowl.
Here are the official numbers and stats from the press release. The Huskers, who had been independent since the program elevated to varsity status during the 97-98 season, will join what is the toughest conference in college bowling. In the two seasons since it sponsored women's bowling, Conference USA has had back-to-back national champions, so Youngstown State and Jacksonville State, and seven of the eight national semifinalists. The only team outside Conference USA to reach the national semis was Nebraska in 2025. Varsity bowling on the women's side has been a sport for 21 seasons now. Conference USA accounts for 12 of those titles, including four of the last five since 2021. And Nebraska is the only program in college bowling to qualify for all 21 NCAA championships. So a powerhouse of a school and program joins a new powerhouse of a conference. Big congratulations to Husker Bowling on that, their induction into the Conference USA. Let's go ahead and take our break here, get us to hour two of Old School. Luka Doncic signed a new contract, got his maximum extension with the Lakers. De'Aaron Fox with the Spurs as well. Who would you rather have for the next 5 years with some young NBA stars? We'll talk about that contract extension. Maybe some parallels to Shaq leaving Los Angeles for Luka Doncic joining the Lakers. All that and more ahead during hour two of Old School.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again after last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please!
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.